Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, Buffalo Fanatics? Josh Allen here. Just wanted to say, go Bills.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is your boy. Back at it again. Welcome to another edition of the Greek Report. Brought to you by the Buffalo Fanatics. Folks, welcome.
My name is Rico.
I'm your host.
And the season is done.
Just like that season is over.
Has completion. The Bills have finished their season. The record was seven games, finishing season 13.
Obviously, we didn't have one game that was canceled, but nonetheless,
we came out strong,
and that's what you want.
That is what you want.
And your team that's destined to make some big games.
And that we did.
What I love about podcasting, especially after a game where raw emotions,
you know what I'm saying?
And you're at the highest of emotions
when talking about the game.
Sometimes you can miss a few things.
And that's why follow-up shows are great.
Because now you can recap and things kind of come out.
And it gives you a little bit of a better perspective on
how the season went down.
And you know what?
And the one thing that stood out to me was that we are kind of like this heading into the playoffs.
But when you look at the grand scheme of things,
it's not like we backed into the playoffs like a lot of teams, right?
We were hoping like the 2017 Bills just for something to materialize, to happen.
And we know the feeling where we did what we had to do.
We just needed other things to happen
for us to get into the playoffs back in the day.
But I'm sitting here going, we're kind of like this, but we finished the season on a seven game win streak.
So we're trying to regain our momentum on how to win.
We've been winning.
I think it's more so we just have to put a consistent game together.
Right, from start to finish.
Most people might think,
man, you're asking for a complete game.
We can't have a perfect game.
You're right.
We can't.
And that's the beauty of being a fan.
You know what I'm saying? Sometimes our expectations can be quite high.
And I have high expectations for this team.
Right, because there's been a ramp up.
And by the way, I gotta give a shout out to my man Rev.
And Rev and Wifey, they made me a hoodie. I saw this hoodie and I had to have it.
And I think it's dope.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Trinity.
So shout out to y'all, man.
And if you guys want to get something, that's my man Rev and Wifey are putting it together.
Here's the deal, folks.
It's just nice that we finished the season on a seven game win streak.
And it's just nice, it's a good feeling to have.
Because we were once there where we were hoping to even be mentioned in making the playoffs.
Now it's the norm.
You know what I'm saying?
It's going to be the norm for quite some time because what?
Because we have a franchise quarterback.
And speaking of franchise quarterbacks,
Not that we take it for granted, we know.
Bills fans know what it's like not having a franchise quarterback.
The Patriots right now are starting to realize we had a real good franchise quarterback.
Miami Dolphins right now haven't had a franchise quarterback since Marino, and that's a long time ago.
That's a long time ago where consistently you know that you're gonna have a chance.
The Dolphins are in that same position.
The Jets haven't had that strong quarterback presence.
I don't know. And I hate to say it, maybe Sanchez was making some noise. They haven't really made some noise since then. I don't give a damn if they brought a ref over there.
It was just like a stopgap.
It wasn't that guy.
So the fact that we have A franchise quarterback.
I bring this up because I'm sitting here. Listening to the big heads talk and those that
you know what I'm saying, that, you know what I'm saying, that professionally get paid and all that good stuff.
And if you really think
it's only like four franchises
in the league right now.
32 teams.
There's four of them that you could genuinely say that's the top.
Those are the top of the top.
Josh Allen
and the Bills.
Mahomes
and the Chiefs.
You can lock that in.
Joe Burrow and the Bengals.
You can lock that in.
And some might say you got something in.
I mean, Lamar, we don't know where Lamar's going to end up.
You know what I'm saying? So I want to put Lamar in there.
But I'll put young quarterback in Herbert.
And look, that's all in the AFC.
And when you look at every other squad in the game,
I'll put in Sunshine from Jacksonville
because they're putting something together. They haven't put anything consistently together.
But when you look at what you got, that's it.
Let's go to Las Vegas.
They got nothing.
Right? They just moved on from Derek Carr.
Go to Tennessee.
Nothing.
Go to Tampa Bay.
They're gonna have nothing.
After Tom Brady.
Who knows what's going on with that?
Atlanta.
Nothing.
Minnesota.
Kirk Cousins.
Can you really say he's a franchise guy?
Nope.
You feel me?
Chicago.
Nothing yet.
We don't know.
Right.
Baltimore.
They should.
They get their act together.
Who knows what they're gonna do?
Houston.
Nothing.
Miami. Carolina. Nothing.
New Orleans. Nothing.
Dude.
I could keep going.
Cleveland.
Deshaun Watson had a piss poor year.
And I love Deshaun Watson.
That boy's a baller.
But he didn't have a great year.
But everybody knows.
He came in halfway through the season.
He hasn't played in two and a half years.
It's going to take time. It's going to take a full offseason to get going.
But when you look at what's going on,
Denver should have had something with Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson had an epically terrible year.
I think a lot of that had to do with leadership in the front office.
I don't think they had a really good coaching hire in the first place.
But it is what it is, man.
Arizona, Kyler.
Kyler could say he was something.
I mean, really nothing, man.
Philly might have something.
We're about to find out this playoff.
And see what's really good with Jalen Hurts.
Green Bay, who knows what's going on with Aaron Rodgers.
He might be gone.
Dak Prescott is up and down.
So really, those are the four that you could say.
That's really good.
And shout out to my man TD Finstock.
Because I want to get in on Dolphins.
Right?
And we're gonna jump right in.
That seven game win streak is not a joke, folks.
That seven game win streak is not a joke.
The Dolphins squeaked in.
They can't even put any touchdowns on the phone.
Listen, man.
when you're fighting for your life, get into the playoffs.
And obviously needing help from us.
You're welcome.
Fam.
Y'all gotta put some touchdowns out.
Who the quarterback is.
You got Tyreek, you got Waddle.
Your genius of an offensive corner, you gotta dial something up for your boys, man.
Y'all brought in.
Wilson to run the rock.
I don't know if they're playing or not.
Golly, the Dolphins.
My man TD says, yo, Rico knows he never stopped lying on Rico.
TD Fizz Talk, I'm going to tell you something.
That's my guy.
TD is passionate.
TD is a grinder.
I've known TD a long time.
And we've been connecting a long time.
This is when our channels were still up and coming.
You know what I'm saying?
And I will tell you this, he puts a lot of work on his channel.
It's sad because the amount of work that puts on his channel.
I wish the Dolphins could put that organization in charge for a quarterback.
But you know, it is what it is. All you Dolphins fans, y'all are just happy to be here.
You know those people that are just happy to be here? You and your boys in the club and stuff like that.
Let me put it this way.
You and your big brothers are going out, man.
You want to come?
And you're like, oh, yes, I've never been out with you guys.
Where are we going?
Don't worry about it, man. We'll bring you along.
Just chill out.
Just happy to be here in the back seat.
You know what I'm saying? We listen to music.
He just looked out the window. Can't believe I'm here.
That's the Dolphins.
Can't believe I'm here.
Y'all finally made it. Y'all better make the most of it now.
Don't come on here and do what the Patriots did last year.
And just didn't show up.
I'm just saying.
You know what I'm saying? But happy y'all made it.
We're just happy to be here.
Miami Dolphins.
Kudos to you guys.
I'm not a sushi guy.
I'm really not a sushi guy.
But I might partake in some sushi. This weekend.
You know what I'm saying? Roll that shit up in the rice.
And some seaweed.
Gross.
But I'll partake just cause.
Anyway.
Let me keep going.
The matter is, this franchise quarterback is so hard to come across.
Dolphins thought they had it.
They thought they had it.
Now who knows?
Now here's the real question.
Are they going to trot out
Mr. Tua?
All the BS that's happening right now.
You're not sure.
Tom Pelissero's like, well,
it's not likely to play him.
That's a bunch of cap.
I smell that.
You smell that?
You know, I'm not even finished. You guys know what line I was going to put up.
I smell BS.
I smell all the BS.
He's playing.
There's no way you're going to trot out Skyler.
Shout out to everybody that was with me last show.
We were talking about Skyler.
You're not going to trot out Skyler.
And if you do, what's the point?
What's the point?
You're gonna put Tua in.
Now here's the deal.
Brought this up and bring it up again.
You bring Tua into this game.
Everybody should be on high alert.
Because he gets hit, they're gonna be in NFL.
Anytime you're playing, you're gonna get hit.
People are gonna be holding their breath.
Did he get up?
Is he wobbly?
Do you wanna put yourself through that?
The NFL's gonna be watching everything you do.
They're gonna be sitting there.
Like Ryan the Tem from the office.
Taking notes.
Because right now, you guys are running a Michael Scott paper company right now.
You feel me?
So,
I'm just saying.
It's gonna be fun now.
You guys will be competitive because you guys finally made playoffs.
It's been a while.
You guys need to get out of the first round.
And it's a tough task.
But this is why the NFL is the NFL.
Any given Sunday.
Anything can happen.
But if you trot out Tua, or you trot out Skyler,
Teddy Bridgewater,
it really don't matter.
The Bills are gonna stomp you guys.
It's just what it is.
But happy you guys are here.
Happy you guys are here.
We had our bye week.
Unfortunate, we had our bye week.
So now we can kind of start getting the momentum.
And listen, we had to do this last year.
We played the Patriots twice, we lost one,
and then we stomped them out in the playoffs.
Y'all squeaked away with a win.
We give you that.
We came back.
We won that one.
And now we're gonna stomp you out to really show you who daddy is.
I told you.
The Bills are Vin Reigns.
And you baby boy.
You thought you had us.
You sitting in that couch, chilling.
Yeah.
And we let you think you had it.
Until we crept up right behind you.
Get your ass in and say, call for your mama.
Call for your mama.
You call for your mama.
You're gasping for air.
That's what's going to happen.
You're gasping for air.
And you know what we're going to do?
We're going to trot out a plate of wings.
We're going to put some ranch on that bitch.
And we're going to force you to eat that shit.
But I want blue cheese.
You don't get ranch.
That's what you're going to get.
Anyway, let me bring it back. Shout out to all you Dolphins fans, man.
For real.
And all the Dolphins podcasters.
I don't know them all.
You got Nicky Smoke crying and wang.
Hey, he finally makes the playoffs. He's coming to Buffalo.
Hey, boy, you come to Buffalo, you better watch out, boy.
They waiting on your ass.
But you're gonna be on your best behavior.
I promise you that.
And all the other Dudley Littles and all that stuff.
Y'all, congratulations.
Now I'm off of y'all.
We on to.
Let me get into
what we did to the Patriots,
and then we're gonna
move to y'all.
You know what I'm saying?
And I hope if you guys are entertained,
you guys are enjoying this pod.
You guys already know, subscribe to the channel. We are less than 100 people away from 25K. 25,000 subscribers, bro. We started this thing late October 2017.
What a grind it has been.
But we have not done it by ourselves. It's a group of us.
And shout out to the whole BF, from the writers to the guys that edit, IG operator,
Bobby holding it down, to Facebook.
The whole crew been doing it.
Let's go. Andrew says, yo, man, make him wait.
You gotta make him wait.
Hey, it's what it is.
Smash that like. 25K.
Now let's go back to This Patriots game.
And when I look back at what we did, this was a three-phase game.
And something we haven't done in a long time.
Where we really came out and did what we needed to do on special teams.
We did what we needed to do on defense, which is force turnovers.
That's when we are at our best.
And then we put up
Josh Allen got to his bag in the second half and started doing it.
It's just what it is.
By the way, shout out to my guy Kevin Gerard, aka Papa.
What's up, Kev? Kev comes and says, bro.
I had to lay it down that I was coming on when Miami won the game.
Rico was ducking me.
Kevin. The Bills win on the last second field goal.
He and Rev called me at 1 a.m.
Yeah, we did call Kevin at 1 a.m.
Kevin's like, hello?
Kevin, wake your ass up, man.
Wake your ass up. How you feel?
I'm hurt.
That's what I am. I'm hurt.
We had to make sure Kevin was cool.
What do you call that?
When you, a wellness call.
It was really a wellness call for you, Kevin.
We wanted to make sure you're okay.
Because you thought you were in it.
Until you weren't.
You thought you were in it until you weren't.
Anyway.
But that's the thing, man.
Now it's division. Everyone knows divisional games.
You don't get stomped.
And I mean, obviously, a lot of this is for jokes and funny.
But in division games, it's tough.
You guys know what it is, man.
We were supposed to stomp the whole AFC.
We may have been challenged by the Dolphins.
And they did challenge us.
Right to the freaking end, until
quarterback puts it in the dirt.
Then we lose to the freaking Jets.
And the funny thing is, we lose three games this year, and two of them in the division. Go figure.
And one of them was a freaking back down away.
Folks, listen to me when I tell you this.
We are a back down away on fourth and 18
from being the number one seed.
Real talk.
We're a red zone touchdown away from McKenzie for being a number one seed.
Just little stupid things, silly things like this.
And the last game we lost was to the Vikings.
You know what I'm saying? We gotta go way back.
So we're on our way.
And we've got big things to do.
We got a lot of things to clean up.
No question about that.
I ain't gonna front and say that.
We're ready to roll.
Although we are, but we got to clean up. And you got to know exactly what I'm talking about.
That is on the defensive side of the secondary.
The secondary, folks.
If there's a time for this team to come together and really turn up and lock in.
This is the time, man.
Regular season is over with.
It's one and done going forward.
There's no looking back now.
There's no looking back now.
Ismail, what's up, Ismail?
Ishmael says, yo, Finn's fans.
They always trip, TD, man.
TD knows what's good, man.
That's one thing I haven't had TD on the show yet.
But I think we run our podcast at the same time.
So it always runs.
But one of these days, I might just come on to the AFC roundtable.
Piss on you, just walk out.
Yeah, that's how I do, baby.
See you on the roundtable.
Yeah, man.
Yo, if you guys don't know what the AFC roundtable is, hit up on Wednesdays.
AFC roundtable.
My man, TD.
Dan is out there.
Jets fans, you got Richie's out there.
And obviously, Pat's fan extraordinaire, master at work.
So shout out to them, boys, right?
All right.
Enough of the little guys.
Okay, we're done.
We'll get into them.
But I want to kind of
put a button.
I want to put a button on this Patriots last week. Last week's Patriots talk,
and then we can get into kind of the Dolphins talk.
And we'll get more into it on Friday. Friday's our show where
we get into the Dolphins talk.
Let me get TD once again.
He says, "Show up this week so I can give you your business."
Listen, man, I'm a shift working.
So when you guys are on, I'm catching Z's.
You know what I'm saying? So I can't be losing sleep
just to come stomp you guys out.
I'm saying it's like waking up for what reason?
So I can just tell you what's gonna happen.
You know what I mean?
Be the oracle and tell you what's
going to happen.
Come on now.
You already know what's gonna happen.
It's just we gotta wait it out.
Another worst, like waiting for the inevitable.
You're waiting for the inevitable.
You know what's gonna happen.
But you gotta wait.
It's a slow death.
It's like the faucet is dripping.
Right now.
And that last drop is gonna be on Sunday.
Oof.
I feel for you guys.
It's tough.
How do you do it?
No, for real.
This is a question for Dolphins.
How do you guys do it knowing that y'all just gonna get stomped out?
And you don't even know who your quarterback's gonna be.
I mean, we know.
But if it's Skyler.
Could you imagine Skyler's gonna be trotting out, scared as shit.
You know what I'm saying?
Runny poo down his leg.
He's a baby.
And he's going up against Bills and he's gotta perform.
There's no way Tyreek is talking up like Tyreek was talking of Tua.
Y'all gonna have to find another way.
Anyway.
Shout out to the Dolphins though.
Y'all made the dance.
That's all that matters.
Really and truly.
That's all that matters. You guys make the dance.
Show us your dance move.
Can you dance?
Because I've seen a lot of teams that can't dance.
You know what I'm saying? They make it look like they dance. And they get into the playoffs.
Like the Patriots, two step.
And they're on rhythm.
Oh shit, they're two stepping.
The minute they got into the dance, offbeat.
The music, they catch a beat to try to catch the.
And here's the Bills. We're on that. Hear the Patriots.
Can't do it. The Dolphins gonna be the same way.
Can't catch a beat, can't dance, can't do nothing.
Sad.
Anyway.
Off the Dolphins.
Back to the Bills.
So here's the deal, folks.
That seven game win streak is a learning, but
you've got the momentum on your side.
You got the momentum on the side,
but you got to clean things up.
Now, a big question that's been going on now.
Right?
And a lot of people are getting on our number two receiver.
I got to get into Gabe Davis.
Folks are getting in on Gabe Davis' ass right now.
As they should.
Because Gabe Davis ain't a scrub.
Let me just put it out there right now.
Gabe is no scrub.
Gabe can play.
Is Gabe limited?
Yes.
Does Gabe have a specialty?
I mean, is there something he does well?
Absolutely.
I mean, he wouldn't have had the Chiefs had he not been something that our team needs, like the Bills need.
He could play.
Is there lack of focus here and there?
Potentially.
Is there too much thinking?
I'm sure of it.
Because a lot of these drops that my man's having, it's a lack of focus thing.
You know what I'm saying?
And what I love about Josh Allen is that Josh will not shy away from throwing him the football.
When you lose confidence, we've seen it where Josh has lost some folks, and he doesn't go to them as often.
He went through that with Dawson Knox.
He went through that with McKenzie. When McKenzie was on, not so much.
But he continues to go to Gabe Davis, and that's what I appreciate.
Because you're saying, drop them, but I'm coming right back to you, you're going to make a big play for me.
And Gabe will do that.
And if Gabe can get back his focus, we're going to be right back where we need to be.
He's just lacked a bit of focus.
Those drops, just concentration, baby.
But I love the fact that Josh Allen continues to go to him.
I like it.
Shout out to my man Silas. What's happening, bro?
Silas is been on an emotional roller coaster all season.
We're gonna put you out of misery Sunday.
I'm gonna tell you something, TD's got a loyal following.
He's got some haters.
I see it.
He's got a loyal following.
And he knows his team.
He knows his team's limitations.
And I'm gonna tell you this, man.
There's some long days in that TD household.
I'm sure wifey has to rub his shoulders real good.
Is it baby's gonna be okay?
It's gonna be okay.
Oh,
look at my TV screen. The score says L.
L. I don't even look at the score anymore. The W or the L. And I don't find any W's.
We haven't had a W since the Texans.
And we finally got it on the Jets.
With Joe freaking Flacco.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Poor TD.
Poor TD.
I hope wifey's rubbing your shoulders right now.
Shout out to wifey.
And shout out to you have a baby girl.
Shout out to you, man.
Shout out to you, man.
I just had my son.
Had my son not too long ago.
By the way, let me go on a little side note.
Side note.
Yeah, I've had.
You guys know I have.
So my youngest one is one.
And I forgot how painful
it is.
To sleep train children.
God, I have all girls until this boy.
And the boy is the worst.
He is stubborn.
I ain't going to bed.
You're gonna rock me until I completely fall asleep.
And then you're not gonna just prop me in my bed and lay me down and think I'm over with.
Oh boy, he's putting this through.
Anyway,
I have to go on a little
side note there.
Back to football chatter.
Back to football chat.
By the way, Gabe Davis drops.
More balls in puberty.
Come on, he's, you know what?
Here's the one thing. There was a question put out on Twitter, and this is why I brought up Gabe Davis.
There was a question put out on Twitter,
and was asking
for
what people. What do you want, or what do you expect
in your number two receiver?
What do you expect in your number two receiver?
And I thought that was a really good question.
Who was it?
It was a cat from Cover One.
I think his name is Anthony.
What are you guys looking for in your number two receiver?
Right, because that's the talk right now. Allen put up a dime.
For Gabe Davis, and he dropped it.
And it's been circulating amongst Bills fans.
It's been circulating on Twitter.
It's just rough.
And the question was, I'm trying to see where the question really formulated the question properly.
So you guys understand what I'm saying here.
And it's all to do with Mr. Gabriel Davis.
And now if I can find that thing, that'd be great.
But anyway, it pretty much came down to what do you need from your number two receiver?
Is this stats?
Is that what you're looking for? You need 1,000 yards and 11 touchdowns.
Is that what you need from your number two receiver?
Okay, well, if it's not that, then what is it that you need?
And I thought that was actually a very fair question, an interesting question.
And to me, when I'm looking at what do I need for my number two receiver?
I just need someone that is complimentary.
I don't need you to be just like if I'm the number one receiver.
Or if I'm the quarterback.
I don't need you to be like my number.
I need you to be complimentary.
I need you to, there are certain things that my number one receiver doesn't do well.
Or physically can't do.
That I need you to do.
Right?
Contested catches.
I need that from you.
Right?
I need you to do things. That I can take advantage of when my guy is covered.
I need you.
I need you to be consistent in the things that I need from you.
So if you are my deep threat, you need to be consistent on that.
So if I'm going deep to you, you gotta bring it down.
I may not give you receiver screens.
Because that's not your thing.
I'm not going to give that to you.
I may not see you in the slot.
It's not your thing.
That comeback route?
Bring it in.
I need that.
That little dig route where I need you to sit down?
Sit down.
It's coming your way.
Catch that.
Right?
I need you to be complimentary.
If Gabe Davis had 300 yards receiving.
But his drop rate doesn't drop a damn thing.
It's one of those situations where you're like, man, this guy, keep going to him.
But I need you to be complimentary to this offense.
There are things that I need you to excel in, that when I go to you, you better be there.
And Gabe Davis was that for us in the playoffs last year.
We just need that again.
And here's the crazy statistically.
I think he's having his best year.
He's got like seven or eight touchdowns this year.
So it's not like he's a scrub.
And I'm not going to say that Gabe Davis is a scrub.
Or when we need you, You got to be there.
Especially
now.
Especially now.
Because we are coming your way, brother.
So this is where we need to say, you know, prop our guy up, and he's coming complimentary.
And that's the one word that stood out to me when I saw that question: complimentary.
Complimentary.
It's got to be that.
No other way.
Diggs is going to get his.
He's got himself elite status.
He does everything correctly.
He does everything well.
He hardly drops.
And when he does,
you're like, oh,
that was a tough catch
to make.
But ooh, how did
you? How did you say it?
And it's rare.
Gabe,
it's like one a game,
maybe two.
I mean, I'm probably exaggerating.
It just feels that way.
But nonetheless,
I still have the most confidence in Gabe.
And I think he's going to step up. I think it's all in his head.
It's all in his head.
Now,
this past game,
there were a few things that stood out to me.
Obviously, depending on what ref we have,
but penalties were low.
We weren't killing ourselves with penalties and keeping games close by mental errors.
We only had two penalties, but so did the Patriots.
So maybe it's a matter of what ref we have.
Now, the one thing I did not like,
and when we're going up against playoff teams, and I say this very lightly, when I say the Dolphins, it's a playoff team, but they are one.
You got to give them respect for that.
The turnovers, we got to see on the red zone turnover.
The red zone, we get to the green zone, we are supposed to be about that action.
We got to come away with something.
We can't come away with nothing.
Now, obviously, we want six.
Every time.
But we got to come up with something we just cannot give the ball away.
It's not feasible.
And if we're trying to go,
it ain't going to work.
It ain't going to work.
And that's the truth of it.
But when I look back at this game,
we are where we're supposed to be, right?
Seven for 12 on third downs.
Seven for 12 on third downs.
Number one in the league.
We've been consistent all year long on third downs.
You got to love it.
And this is what brings me to the good, the bad, the ugly.
You guys already know what time it is.
The good, the bad, the ugly.
And let me start off with the good, because I would love your help.
I would love if there's something that I miss, or maybe something that you're like, man, you missed this part.
Rico, you gotta get this.
Cool.
Hear me out.
And by the way,
thank you for the stats.
Ismail comes in, 40 receptions, 836 yards, and 7 touchdowns.
Tell me.
If the year started off, I told you Gabe's gonna have 836 yards.
You're like, oh shit!
I'll take that.
836 yards.
How many yards is Stephon gonna have?
He's gonna have like nearly 1500 yards.
Yeah, give me 800 yards.
No problem.
There you have it.
We speak as though he's got three.
Sometimes it's like, yo, man,
we need a true number two receiver.
But here he is, 800 yards.
And I've been there too, so that's why I'm checking myself.
Right until you have to look at the big picture and be like, yo,
what's the deal?
We can't be like that.
Josh Allen has identical numbers.
He's got identical numbers to last year.
Almost to a T.
You know the big difference is
we don't have Cole Beasley.
Cole Beasley accounted for 80 receptions and 800 plus yards.
Here's Gabe Davis with 836, so he made up for what we lacked from other weapons like Cole Beasley.
He made up for that.
But this is where I got to check myself and others.
We're just never satisfied.
And I've said it, sometimes my expectations are too high.
But the way they started off this offseason,
when you look through the roster, you're like, yo, how are we going to lose?
How is anything going to beat us?
We were like that because we felt that the roster was just right.
Obviously, injuries happened
and have kind of thrown us a little bit off.
But for the most part, a pretty damn good season.
And when you ask anybody outside of being a Bills fan,
And you ask them to critique, you're like, yo, you guys are a freaking bomb team, what are you talking about?
I'll take that anytime. You see my quarterback?
I'm dealing with freaking Marcus Mariota.
Yo, give me Josh Allen all day.
Give me Gabe Davis all day.
You feel me?
So like we tend to as Bills fans
You mean have
too high of too expectations, high of expectations
and want everything, everything to be perfect.
Not realistic.
Not realistic.
And I have to, check myself because I'm that way.
I want it all.
I want it all.
Can't have that.
Can't have that way.
But not a bad,
not a good year for Gabe Davis.
That's a damn good year.
Damn good year for Gabe Davis.
This is a shame.
It's a shame that we have to feel this way. But anyway.
Let me get into it.
Good, the bad, let's get into it, folks.
Let me start off right off the bat.
Naheem Hines.
Naheem Hines, man.
This boy gave us a spark. The spark that we absolutely needed.
And the spark came right off the rip.
First freaking play of the game.
Kickoff return.
Takes it back to the house.
96 yards.
If you were at the game,
was it one of the loudest you've ever heard?
That stadium.
I'm sure it has to have been.
That stadium must be rocking.
Because of what transpired this whole year.
And by the way, just to give you guys a heads up,
we got a little something coming your way.
Me and my guy Kev.
He's one of our video guys.
And he does an excellent job. All those hype videos that you guys see.
I'm just saying.
We're putting something together.
It's gonna be fun.
But real talk.
Naheem Hines not only took one back to the house.
He took two.
And I can have a category of the good, the bad, the ugly.
Put something beautiful.
That was a beautiful sight to see.
It caught everybody off guard.
Because first play of the game.
After DeMar, the Hamlin situation.
Amazing.
So the beautiful.
Give a shout out to Naheem Hines.
And we brought him here for that reason.
I'm sitting here thinking we brought him in to spark the run game because we don't feel good on the run game.
And here he is as the guy that we needed to secure punt return and kick return duties.
Boy, did he handle business.
Amazing.
Awesome to see.
By the way, I got to give a shout out to a super chat coming in from
Kuba.
Anyway,
171 of them came from the Steelers.
This is his first year as a number two receiver.
So his numbers are going to be up, needs to be caught more.
Hold on, let me try to understand.
What am I saying?
171 of them.
Oh, I see what he's saying.
So 171 of those yards
came against the Steelers.
This first year as a number two receiver.
So his numbers are going to be up.
He needs to catch more.
But I mean, you're gonna have games when you exploit.
These are deep threats.
I've been saying this is John Brown.
Everybody's talking about John Brown.
I was like, look at Gabe Davis right now.
He's averaging 16, 17 yards a pop.
Deceptive speed.
Long strides.
People don't realize.
It looks like he's hobbling the whole time.
But he's doing it on purpose.
You think I'm hobbling?
Watch me go.
So there's going to be games that are big like that.
Barry Sanders had games where he probably rushed for like 40 yards.
Then he has a game where he rushed for like 200.
The game of averages, right?
It happens that way.
So if he can bring those big games up against these teams
where they're going to try to cue on our guy Stephon Diggs.
This is where he's going to have to step up.
But I'm going to tell you right now, man.
When that Naheem Hines kick return happened,
if you didn't have some kind of warm feeling where just a gush of goodness came over you,
I can't help you.
Because that was nothing short of amazing.
That was great. Amazing.
Jared B. wants to commit and says, hey.
The good, three things.
Three things.
Russo with one sack, so close on a handful of more.
He was disruptive.
Absolutely was.
Hines, you know it.
Brown setting up the tone on that touchdown.
Send a message to teammates to pick it up.
I like that, Jared B.
I like that.
There were some good things, man.
Now here we go.
Naheem Hines definitely a great touch.
I'm gonna go with, and I say this, I'm gonna just go ahead and say it.
I like the John Brown elevation.
Because John Brown, I don't want to say people forget, but
Don't let me remind you. Let me put it this way.
Let me remind you.
He was once our number one receiver.
He was the one that Josh Allen looked to
get things popping. So when he comes back, you don't think there's going to be some kind of chemistry between the two?
And I'd like to see more.
And I'd love to see John Brown elevated to pick our spots when John Brown's on the field.
Let's not forget, this guy was once our number one receiver.
So these things are going to happen.
So I love seeing that John Brown got his opportunity to spark this team, to spark Kane from Naheem Hines.
And then it came back with John Brown, and then this is when Josh was like, all right, I'm in my mojo.
Now, the one thing that I said Friday night on my Friday night show, I think it was last show.
Minimum 10 targets should be sent Stephon Diggs' way.
He's your number one receiver.
We should never shy away from that.
And in the press conference, Josh said, and I've been saying it for weeks now.
You gotta let your dogs do what they do.
There is no excuse to not look at your number one receiver.
Against the Jets, two receptions off of two targets?
That's it?
Unacceptable. Freaking unacceptable.
You can't have that.
And I won't accept it.
And neither should Josh.
In his press conference, he's like, you know what?
Sometimes you just gotta let your dogs do what they do.
I'm paraphrasing here.
But he did use the word dogs.
Let your dogs do what they do.
And even right before the Diggs touchdown,
you guys remember, or if you guys remember hearing it,
I think Jim Nance was like,
Well, we've been pretty quiet. We haven't heard anything from Stephon Diggs.
Wait a second, 49-yard bomb.
Because everybody's watching this.
You can't.
And Josh should know better.
You gotta let your dog do what he does, man.
He ain't gonna cry to you. He's not trying to pick him out for a diva.
He ain't no diva. But you gotta know. There's gotta be an unspoken bond where you're like, okay, I got you.
You don't gotta say shit to me.
I got you.
And we need to see that going forward.
Come on now. Let's go.
But I love it.
Love the connection.
Here's the other thing.
I love the spark that John Brown gave us.
I also love that we capitalized on defense.
We capitalized on taking the ball away.
We had three interceptions that game.
It didn't start well.
Where Mac Jones was chipping away and just going at us, right?
At one point, he had two touchdown drives.
17 for over 20 yards and two TDs.
We can't give that up.
Now.
Will the Bills defense have to be like the Chiefs defense?
Because right now, if you look at the Chiefs defense, they're very much bend but don't break.
They will give up some points.
But when they make plays when need be.
And this is where the Bills need to be.
You're gonna give up. We're not healthy.
We're not healthy. We don't have Von Miller closing out the game.
We don't have on the back end.
Micah Hyde.
Those are huge losses. Those are huge losses.
So if you anticipated that our defense would remain the same,
you got nothing coming.
Now Hamlin has been starting in the presence of Micah Hyde being gone.
He's been starting in his position.
Obviously, Jaquan started there, and then it didn't work out.
So Hamlin came through.
He started to get his mojo going.
And now he's on injury reserve.
So now we're once again having to shuffle and move things around.
And we don't know how it's going to go.
But if we're going to give some points up, we're going to give some big plays up.
I get it.
But there's going to come a time when you have to make your plays when you need to.
And we did.
We got three turnovers, sacked, disruptive.
And this is where Greg Rousseau comes in.
Greg Rousseau, I'm telling you right now.
Next year, mark my words, he's going to bust out.
And right now, he's already having a solid year.
But that brother is going to bust out.
He's going to bust out, and you guys are going to find out what we're going to do with Greg Rousseau, man.
He's going to be the Greg Rousseau that they were coveting, talking about like crazy coming out of college.
He had an epic college year.
And he's going to do it again next year. Next year is going to be a big year.
Love Greg Rousseau. I think he leads our team right now in sacks.
How many sacks does he have this year?
He's got seven or eight sacks.
Let me take a look here.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
He's got six sacks this year. Kudos to my guy. Love it.
So we're about to find out what's good with Grissom this coming playoffs.
Somebody said you can't say bust out, and that's pause.
Can't use pause there.
No sir.
I know when pause needs to be used.
Bust out.
No.
That's not one of them.
Good try though.
But that's the good.
I mean, I can go on a whole lot of good things that happened in that game.
I love every bit of it.
I love that.
In this game, we didn't settle for any field goals, man.
It was touchdowns or nothing.
I like that.
Obviously, that interception in the red zone.
But it was all touchdowns.
We did not have to settle for field goals.
Love that.
Love every bit of it.
Excuse me. I stand corrected. He's got 8 sacks this year.
In two years he's been in the league, he's got 12.
But eight sacks, he doubled up on the sacks he had last year.
Great freaking job, man.
And here's the one thing I do love.
He's got a forced fumble.
And I'm looking for his tackle.
There we go.
I'm looking for his tackle for his TFLs.
Because he's been very disruptive.
And he's been getting after everybody.
Greg Rousseau, he's a massive man.
I see that when this guy makes a play, he gets up and I look, he's standing next to a running back.
Or he's standing next to a receiver.
I was like, this brother is huge, man.
And that wingspan is no joke.
So if he's not getting to you,
this boy's a little tree on the end.
Take that, man.
I'll take that.
But anyway.
I love what we're doing.
We're gonna ramp up into a playoff form,
and we'll be just fine.
We just gotta make sure that we capitalize.
We make sure that we force our turnovers. We're gonna give plays up.
We're just not elite everywhere how we started the season.
We got some guys that are banged up.
Even Poyer's banged up.
He's got the lateral meniscus injury right now.
He's dealing with.
You know what I'm saying? But he's playing through it.
We are banged up.
So we just gotta hold off.
Three more games to play.
You know what I'm saying? Four games, close four, you already know what time it is.
You know what time it is.
So let's go.
Now, the good, the bad.
Anything stand out to you in this game?
I'm gonna say this.
A bit of a lull.
Offensively.
Where at one point I wouldn't say I was questioning Ken Dorsey.
But at one point I was like, all right, Ken. Like, let's put something together.
Let's liven up a little bit.
Until he started dialing up some plays that Josh and I liked, and we were good again.
But we have these offensive lulls.
Which is gonna happen.
We had some offensive lulls that will happen in the game. But then it's up to Josh to kind of spark it up and make things work.
So to me, if we can get past those offensive lulls.
I think we're better for it.
The other thing that stands out to me,
I wouldn't call it bad.
I'd like to see more of is right now, if you look at what we did in the run game,
we gave nine carries.
If I remember correctly, nine carries to James Cook and seven carries to Devin Singletary.
So both of them under ten carries.
You already know what time it is, man.
When James Cook gives Devin Singletary the football,
good things happen.
So the fact that we kind of stayed away from giving the football,
I'd like to see more.
You know what I'm saying? A little more balance, a little more taking the clock, killing the clock.
We lost in the time of possession.
We let the Patriots take over and kill the time.
But because we were more efficient on offense,
we took over.
But I'd like to have more control of our game.
We are running the shit.
And we don't let these guys dictate a thing.
At one point, they were dictating it, running up the score.
They're killing the clock and actually taking up time. So I'd like to see us have more control of the clock.
And that we take care of
running the ball
a little more balance.
A little more balance.
That's what I want.
But nothing stood out to me.
We just clean up a few drops.
You guys already know.
And then we go from there.
The ugly.
Did anything stand out to you that was like, oh.
Dude, we can't have
we
that.
Can't have we that. Cannot we cannot have that.
Obviously, to me, the only thing that stands out to me is that red zone.
The red zone interception. But it's not about the red zone interception.
Like we throw an interception, it's fine.
But it was the throw. It was like, what?
You threw that?
Into double?
I don't like that.
Right?
It was one of those situations where I was like, I don't like that at all.
Better decision making by Josh.
In those red zone moments.
Because he's thrown five red zone interceptions.
Can't have that.
And those interceptions come into...
And it's not like he's just throwing it up there.
He's obviously trying to play clearly.
Right?
The guy's got 35, 37 touchdown passes.
So he ain't no bum.
You know what I'm saying?
But we just got to be smarter with football
and choose our moments wisely.
Because when we're in that red zone,
we just can't afford to give that ball away.
We just can't.
Now,
The good, the bad, the ugly.
I think I'm gonna add another segment for next year.
And it's the question.
The good, the bad, the ugly, the question.
And sometimes I come away with more questions than.
Oh, this was horrible. I didn't like that. I have more questions.
And a lot of it is for my offensive coordinator.
Right.
You have, and I'm just trying to understand.
You have a receiver, Cole Beasley.
And I'm not talking about last game, I'm talking about generally speaking.
You have a slot receiver, Cole Beasley, that really can help this offense.
Especially moving the chains.
Not that we have an issue with number one and third down percentage.
But moving the chains and finding the soft spot.
And there just hasn't been that chemistry, if you will.
Obviously, some time away, we didn't have a whole off season.
But find ways to get Cole on the field and get him warmed up, get him started.
Right, and get that look started between the two of them.
Right.
There are some times where Josh sees it, but he prefers the harder degree of a pass.
And I think that would be one of the bads that I see in our offense with Josh.
Where the easy play is here, but he chooses to make things harder for himself.
By throwing a harder degree of a pass.
And chances are he'll make it.
But golly, does it make you hold your breath a little bit?
To say, holy crap, but then it's a sigh of relief at the same time because you're like,
it's my quarterback.
It's one of those things.
But I do question, I'd like to see our weapons
and Ken Dorsey try to figure out to get our guys involved sooner rather than later.
I think sometimes you wait too long to get things going.
But there's ebbs and flows, you got to feel the flow of the game.
So I get that part.
I really do get that part.
But that was the only thing that stood out to me in terms of the ugly.
And I hate to call it ugly. I'm not going to call it a question.
I mean, I question those things.
But if you guys have anything that stands out that you feel like, man, Rico, you got to talk about this though.
Let's do it.
You guys know what to do, man.
Hit me up. I'm going to try to read your comments.
And if I'm not in your comments, I apologize.
Super chat it.
I'll try to get to you.
My man Dorsey was passing too much for me.
When the run game was working so well.
It's like Dorsey gets afraid of the run game success.
And says, what am I doing?
I've got Josh Allen.
And a lot of times it's the politics of sports.
And I hate to bring it up, but it's true.
It's true.
At least for me, that's how I feel.
There's a lot of politics in sports
when it comes to how often is this guy supposed to get the ball?
Why isn't this rookie playing? Josh, like McDermott's thing is
I don't really play rookies.
I don't care if the fans call him, I don't care if every time he touches the ball he does well.
I just don't.
It's like he's humbling them.
Or politics, where you wait your turn, young buck.
You ain't got enough stretch for you to get on the field like that.
These guys are putting their time.
Example.
A lot of people have been calling Shakir to get on.
Why are we not giving Khalil Shakir
his touches?
Get him his opportunities.
Every time he comes onto the field,
he does something.
He's productive.
But we sitting here
trotting out
Isaiah McKenzie.
And a lot of people, have fallen out of favor with Isaiah McKenzie.
There was a week where I had to put some respect on Isaiah McKenzie's name.
What does he do?
He comes in the next game.
Six for 96 yards.
That shut up a few people.
But it doesn't stop people from wondering
why isn't Khalil Shakir getting more touches?
He was great all offseason. Preseason was fantastic.
When he got his first opportunity to play early in the season,
scores a touchdown.
He had five receptions or something like that.
I hope I'm not making that up, but he had a good game.
But then we stopped.
We don't go to him anymore.
There were times where he was inactive.
Why is he inactive?
So now we're going to the playoffs,
and you saw more of a sighting of Khalil Shakir. We see more of him.
So those are the things that you kind of question a little bit. Like, okay, Dorsey, it's your offense.
You know who runs what well.
But then there's the politics.
There's the politics of it.
And some guys got to earn.
You notice it more often.
You got to earn your stripes with McDermott.
It's not about the best player plays.
McDermott doesn't play like that.
He's even said it.
I forgot what it was, but he had a quote with.
He'll take a
team over talent or something like that. I can't remember what it was.
And to a degree, I agree.
I agree.
Sometimes you may not have the best player at that position.
But that player plays his role.
And you playing your role helps the team in the grand scheme of things.
Instead of having a whole bunch of elite talent players on the squad.
But if you don't know your role, if you're killing the chemistry,
that ain't gonna work.
So I get that part.
There's a lot of politics that come in when it comes to positions.
Who's playing, why isn't this guy playing over this guy?
At one point, it was like,
why is Zach Moss continuing to take touches away from James Cook?
What the hell are we doing?
What are we doing? Then we brought in Johnson.
Like, what is going on?
Oh, well, he's a veteran guy. I want to give him a chance.
Fuck all that shit, man.
You put your best players on this, and that's the one thing that does frustrate me as a fan.
If we're not in practice with these guys, we can't say, put that guy on, he made a play in the game, and that's what it is.
Because these coaches see these players every day in practice.
And what I see in practice, I don't like it.
So how's that going to translate in the game?
If you want to get on the field, you got to show me everything that's in practice.
I totally understand that part too.
But there's some guys, man, you just like this whole running back situation.
There was no reason that you had three running backs on the squad and you're splitting time with knock it off.
That was pissing me off the whole time.
And I was a fan of Zach Moss.
You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like I was hating on Zach, but I knew, hold on, man.
Yo, if you're gonna have two running backs,
put your rookie running back that you drafted in the second round,
because that was my biggest beef.
And trot out Devin Singletary.
Have those two guys.
Instead of trotting out three guys,
knock it off.
Knock it off. That's a Dorsey thing.
McDermott with the whole, like, earn your stripes in.
I mean, I ain't gonna put a rookie in. Cut it out.
And he's learned because they shipped Zach Moss out and realized that ain't gonna work.
And they brought in Naeem Hines.
We're about to change things up.
You brought in Naeem Hines because we didn't have anything on the back end.
Kudos to Brandon Bean.
But you guys get what I'm saying, though.
I hope you guys understand what I'm saying.
Smash that like.
Let me know that we're on the same page.
This whole politics thing.
Never understood it.
Put in your best players, let your best players play.
And if he's not performing, then you go to the next guy.
But this whole, you know, he's been here, he's got his time, and I get all that.
But being here and earning time and all that stuff.
But if you're not producing like this guy can.
That's what it is. That's why you have this draft class. That's why you have all these things.
These rookies are going to unseat these guys.
Because I'm the younger, the faster, the stronger guy.
Put me in, coach.
Not yet.
McKenzie's earned his stripes, man.
All right, cool.
But sometimes things fizzle.
I'm not saying McKenzie's fizzling.
But sometimes you start to kind of, all right.
The hype is done.
All right, Khalil, let me see what you got.
And hopefully that's the route we take.
I even saw some people saying,
Yo, sit Gabe Davis.
See, that's letting your emotions get too high.
Sit Gabe Davis.
All right, Gabe Davis.
Who are you gonna put in Gabe Davis' spot?
Honestly.
You know what I mean?
My man, MOS, real talk, drops a ball and it's politics.
Davis drops a ball and it's expectations.
What is it for Beasley to drop the ball last week?
I mean, the one that he did drop,
was a bit out of his reach.
If you think about it, it was on the sideline. I remember it.
It was on the sideline.
And had the ball, been more catchable football. He's walking into the end zone.
But I wouldn't say that.
Shakir drops balls.
I don't think it's a politics thing when it comes to dropping the football.
Politics comes into plays.
Right?
When it's rookie versus veteran.
I think that's that part.
You've earned your stripes as a vet, so I'm going to give you your opportunity first before the rook is going to have time.
Right?
You guys got to make your opportunities.
At least that's the way I look at it.
Or present to me.
But I don't think it's a matter of
dropping ball politics, expectation.
But for Beasley, it's just...
I mean, how many times did he get on the field, right?
Right?
He's got two receptions in two games that he played.
So is it really on Beasley, though?
He can only do what he's able to do, really.
You can't hate on the man.
He's doing what is in his power to do.
And sometimes I like to see what the snap count was.
Because snap count is important.
If you really want to see how they're maybe transitioning or how they're going to favor certain things,
it'll be interesting to see this last game that we just had.
Let me see if I can get this down pat.
So
Gabe Davis played 80% of the snaps,
followed by Stephon Diggs at 76% of the snaps.
Followed by Isaiah McKenzie at 56% of the snaps.
When I go to Khalil Shakir, 15 snaps that game.
15 snaps for 25% of the snaps.
So you've got Isaiah McKenzie at 50% of the snaps.
I wonder if they're going to kind of even things out.
That'll be interesting. I think Isaiah McKenzie is always going to get the snaps.
Gabe obviously is on the field because of more.
He's a great run blocker.
Those are the things that he breaks the field.
A great run blocker.
And you got Diggs.
And next man up is Isaiah McKenzie.
And then Khalil Shakir at 25% of the snaps.
Those are the receivers that got on the field.
John Brown only had seven snaps.
Seven snaps for 12%.
So they're going to sprinkle these guys in.
So when you do get sprinkled in, make the most of it.
Make the most of it.
On the defensive side of the ball, guess what?
Dean Marlowe had 100% of the snaps, obviously.
Makes sense.
So that's probably going to be your duo.
It's going to be Dean Marlowe and Jordan Poyer.
That's going to be your look.
We brought him in for a reason. So maybe this is destiny, right?
Maybe this is fate.
Coming to the playoffs, he knows.
He's been around.
We're going to see how it plays out.
So Jordan Poyer, Marlowe, Edmonds.
And we'll go from there. We're going to get into Edmonds. I got to talk about something with y'all.
Taron Johnson was great this game.
And these are the things I'm talking about, man.
Because had we not had the time for Taron to get better,
maybe we wouldn't have had him this game.
You know what I'm saying? We had a whole week for him to ease up and get better.
And he was sensational in his last game.
So Taron Johnson is a huge part in his defense.
Huge part.
And I love Taron Johnson, this guy's got no fear.
He don't care if you're Derrick Henry.
He don't care if you're freaking Maurice Jones, freaking Drew.
Obviously, he doesn't play anymore, but you guys catch what I'm saying.
He could be big as freaking Henry.
He will still go after you.
Love the fearlessness.
In my guy, Taron Johnson.
Or Taron Johnson.
But other than that, the snap count is interesting.
We're starting to see a lot more snap count from Greg Rousseau.
Listen, the snap count for defensive linemen is always...
You know what I'm saying? We're always around, you get about 30 snaps, 35 snaps.
Greg Rousseau had 43 snaps, 62% of the time. Ed Oliver, 69% of the time was on the field.
Dequan Jones was on the field 50 snaps for 74%.
That's huge because they're rotating less.
I like it.
I've been calling for this since the offseason.
When the Bengals beat the freaking Chiefs,
The one thing that was constant to me when I noticed that they never took out Hubbard, very rarely took out Hendrickson.
They left their dogs on the field.
Because the longer you leave these guys, the more they get a nuance of the game.
Right?
When you keep rotating, yes, I'm fresh, but I'm not really getting a feel for it.
But when you're in the game, you get a feel for your kind of tendencies.
So we're seeing more of these guys stay on the field.
I love every bit of it.
This is great.
That's awesome.
Now, here's the one that stood out to me, and I got to talk about it, right?
the cornerback
spot.
And that was I didn't want to say it was ugly
because we came up with three interceptions.
However,
I do have my concerns
with the defensive backs.
Heard me say that.
Trey White is not the same.
He had that great interception.
You got to give it to him.
I'm hoping that
gets his mojo back.
Maybe that's the one play that happens.
But
when you see guys like
Dane Jackson had
39 snaps, 57% of the play.
Kyrie Elam
was 10 snaps below Dane Jackson,
43%.
So
these two boys
right now
are pretty much
splitting time.
In comes Benson is now going to be.
You know what I'm saying
he's healthy now, so they're gonna implement him.
He's more of a zone type corner.
So how they're gonna play this out?
It's gonna be interesting because we're going up against
Tyreek Hill, that can stretch the field, danger.
This guy's straight danger.
You got Waddle.
You let him get going.
He'll be dangerous.
He will be dangerous.
So
we're gonna need every bit of these guys
to step their game up
and be alert.
So we'll see.
Snap counts matter, man.
Snap counts matter.
So it kind of gives you a path into the mind of where they see these players.
And shout out to Patrick that posts these every week to tell you.
All right, man, here's how many plays these guys played, and it goes from there.
Thank goodness we didn't see Saron Neal too much because had we continued that game against the Bengals.
Woo!
That would have been bad.
And we just can't have that.
We can't have that.
So we'll see how it plays out.
We'll see how that plays out.
We're gonna see the expectations, how they roll.
But right now, I love the fact that Greg Rousseau sitting on the field.
Quan Jones on the field more often.
You gotta keep your dogs on the field.
And if they're performing,
keep them there.
Because when we get into the playoffs,
don't be rotating shit.
Don't need to be rotated.
Leave that in there.
It's like taking out a light bulb.
The light bulb still works, but it's not bright.
You want to put another light bulb in there so I can see shit.
I don't want to burn it out. Get out of here, man.
LED linemen on this damn team.
Let them stay out there. They're good. They're gonna shine bright no matter what. But anyway.
I gotta go to the super chat real quick.
To my guy James.
Hope your lobster shops were full today, Rico.
Get out of here with that lobster.
Lobster, gross, man.
That's the cockroach of the sea.
I will not listen.
These people out here in Nova Scotia,
they have this thing about lobster and how great it is.
Lobster is gross.
It's hard work to try to crack this and open that and all that stuff and expensive shit.
No, thank you. I ain't gonna put some damn traps out there.
But if you're McDermott, which receivers are you starting for this next game?
I'm gonna keep it the same.
For the fact that
my quarterback has chemistry with these guys.
Right.
So Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs.
They're gonna be your staple.
I'd love to see what they plan on doing with Cole Beasley.
I'd love to see that because Cole Beasley can be a very big integral part with this team.
So what's their
What's your take?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I'm interested to see what route McDermott decides to take this upcoming game.
Right? Every team is different.
You know what I'm saying?
The Dolphins defensively don't scare me.
Chubb.
Listen, there was a stat I saw there.
They brought in Bradley Chubb, like 92nd.
Out of all defensive linemen.
Javon Holland, very good safety.
He was ranked.
You mean below? Not below, but he was ranked low.
Xavier Howard, out of all the cornerbacks,
he was ranked like eight.
They're a decent defense, but not where I'm shook.
I mean, they're on a five-game losing streak for a reason.
They've got some inconsistencies on defense.
So we're definitely going to exploit those things.
Who we put out there?
We're going to put out the guys that make plays.
And that will stress that defense
and make them uncomfortable.
Our big dogs are Diggs and Davis.
And obviously Dawson Knox is coming into his own as well.
So it's gonna be fun to see how we implement the receiving room.
By the way, MOS, we saw that comment.
Sorry, just wanted to make sure I didn't miss any super chats as we go.
So here's the deal, folks. Before we get out of here in this show,
Did you see the contract
that
Roquan Smith
got
for the freaking Ravens?
This boy
secured
the bag.
$100 million contract.
$60 million
guaranteed.
Ever since he showed up
on that
Ravens defense,
they've only improved.
They were middle of the pack defensively.
And they're up to top 10 stats
because of the addition of this one person.
And he got the bag.
So my question to you folks,
where do we see
Tremaine
Edmonds?
Do we still value Tremaine Edmonds like we did?
Because I thought when it comes time to it,
we're gonna pay him in the ballpark
of Matt Milano.
$14 million, give or take.
Fam.
Roquan getting 20 mil a year.
He's the first off-ball linebacker, outside linebacker to get that type of money.
Fam.
$20 million a year.
Are you ready to pay Tremaine Edmonds?
$20 million a year.
Honestly.
How you guys feel about that?
Roquan Smith, let me see if I can get his contract up.
The freaking Ravens' all-pro linebacker
Roquan Smith.
Now the highest paid position in the NFL history.
The five-year $100 million.
You guys already know $100 million is not guaranteed.
But what is guaranteed is $60 million.
$45 million fully guaranteed and $60 million in total guarantees.
The first off-ball linebacker, $20 million per year, Roquan.
Represented himself, the whole.
You know what I'm saying? The whole Lamar Jackson.
No agent is getting a piece of my pie.
Bobby Wagner route.
$20 million a year.
Are you ready to pay Tremaine Edmonds
$20 million a year?
Pay him or let him walk?
Let him walk.
Which is it?
Because if you take Tremaine Edmonds out of our defense.
You guys already seen what he can do. You've seen the year he's having.
He's having a great year, obviously, in a contract year.
But my goodness,
$20 million is a lot.
Are you guys in on paying him $20 million a year?
If you guys are in on paying him $20 million a year,
and say, F it, screw it, do it.
Give me the thumbs up.
If you're like, let him walk.
Find that little bonum.
That's walking.
And let him go.
I'm telling you, folks.
That's a lot of money.
And that's some money that we can put towards a cornerback.
That's some money we can put towards the line.
We want to get the agency.
Getting another receiver.
Talk to me.
Are you guys in on that, or keep the core together?
Sometimes you're just gonna have to do it.
Do you pay?
And we talked about this.
Who do you pay?
Edmonds?
Poyer?
Because those are the two guys that we were like, what do we do?
Who do we pay?
We have to make a decision.
Well, here it is.
I'm not saying he's going to request the same amount that Roquan Smith did.
But he's got accolades to say, guys.
Since I've been in this league, I've been a Pro Bowler.
Ever since I've been in this league,
100 tackles.
I'm saying only this year I didn't have over 100 tackles.
But come on now.
Are you in?
Talk to me.
And if you guys feel that, yo man, he's worth every penny, 20 mil.
Then all right. Talk to me now.
But my goodness, we're gonna have two linebackers.
If we do pay two linebackers over $14 million,
that's a lot of money tied into the linebacker room.
Are you ready for that?
That is the question.
Because we're gonna have to make a decision.
And I'm sorry, but we drafted a linebacker that is just not.
Just not on the level of Tremaine Edmonds.
So Milano is going to be the guy.
And we talked about Milano.
He got snubbed this year.
Should have been a Pro Bowler.
So now the real question is, Oliver.
You pay Oliver. Pay
Oliver.
Do you pay Poyer?
Or do you pay Edmonds?
Maybe two of those guys are going to get paid.
Maybe they keep Oliver and they keep Poyer.
Edmonds walks.
Ooh.
And he's still young. He's 23? 24.
He's 24 years old.
What you gonna do with Edmonds, baby?
Because that's a big one.
That's a big one.
He's only 24 years old.
Boy, was born in 1998.
That's craziness.
So what you gonna do?
Pay him,
or let him walk.
Pedro says Milano over Hyde and Poyer.
Damn.
You want to get rid of your safeties?
Yo, Pedro tripping.
Yo, Pedro, what you smoking, bro?
What are you smoking?
Did you not see the back end right now?
Our back end is not great right now.
We got some young bucks.
We got a guy come back off ACL injury.
And we have a bummed Poyer, knee that's bad, elbow that's bad.
And he's looking to get his contract.
And then you have Hamlin that's out.
And you want to get rid of both Hyde and Poyer and bring in two linebackers.
We got to have some balance here, folks.
We need some balance.
And this is the beauty of this league.
You're going to have to make some tough decisions.
Tough financial decisions.
And this is where I do not envy to be in the position of Brandon Bean.
Because he's got to make some tough decisions.
But I trust Brandon Bean.
Brandon Bean is going to have a tough decision to make.
When it comes to our guy, Mr. Edmonds.
Let me tie these bills in a bow.
We got Dolphins coming up. We ended our regular season on a high note.
We won the AFC East division.
Yet again.
Three-time champs.
Put your threes up.
Bang, bang, bang.
You guys know what it is.
Our guy Hamlin is on the road to recovery.
God bless him.
And we're headed to the playoffs.
This is where we've got to dig in.
There's no going back now.
We got to take care of the Dolphins,
which we should.
Then we're on to the Bengals.
Because the Bengals probably most likely will beat the Ravens.
If they trot out the same quarterback they trotted out last week. And then we face the Bengals, how it's supposed to be done.
And then we'll find out where we truly stand.
We got to take care of one game at a time.
Now, as for the Dolphins,
I don't want to get too much into the Dolphins chat.
Because obviously we're going to get into it on Friday.
And I'm going to see if I can bring my man Kevin.
And my man Jonah.
I'm going to see if I can hit those boys up.
And tell them to come through and let's chop it up.
Because it's a big game for them.
They're just happy to be here.
And Kevin is very much a realist.
We're gonna get spanked.
It's just good for us.
I mean, good experience for these guys.
I don't know what Kevin's gonna say.
Because Kevin, you never know what Kevin's gonna say, man.
Kevin is just unpredictable.
He's predictable, but unpredictable at the same time.
But anyway, we have to take care of the Dolphins.
One game at a time.
And then we get to it.
I want to be able to say that we're going to smash, which I think we will.
And we'll have a level of focus like never before.
And the team is playing inspired ball.
And I'll tell you right now. If Hamlin comes out onto the field on Sunday to lead the charge and run with that thing.
I feel bad for the Dolphins.
Those boys are going to be elated.
And if he stays on the sideline, they're going to be playing for that boy.
So it's going to be very difficult for the Dolphins to overcome that.
So we'll see how that plays out.
But folks, I hope you guys enjoyed the show.
I wanted to get into coaching fires and all that stuff.
We'll wait till Friday's show
because I got some things to say.
I can't stand the Texans.
Texans piss me off.
Trotting out black coaches and just discarding them like junk.
You gave these coaches a junk team to start with.
And you're just going to discard them?
And then you're going to go for a white coach that you're going to give him 4 years.
I'm giving him four years to fix this mess.
Man.
These Texans, bro.
They gave Cliff Kingsbury
4 years.
Three years and an extension.
And this guy was a bona fide bum in college.
And you gave him a contract to come to Arizona.
And you gave him the time.
And he still didn't do anything to the Cardinals.
And you finally gave him a shot.
Lovey comes in.
After one year, Lovey's like, F you guys.
I know you're not going to bring me back.
And you want me to secure the number one seat for you guys?
Go F yourself.
That's pettiness.
I like it.
That's pettiness, but I get sick and tired of these damn owners.
These GMs getting these black coaches and giving them a chance.
You're not giving them shit.
When you trot out Davis Mills, and you're on with that.
Who the hell am I receiving?
Brandon Cooks?
And he's not a scrub.
Nico Collins?
We drafted Michi, but Michi couldn't play.
Defensively, you bring Jerry Hughes.
Mario Addison.
What the hell you want me to do with that?
You want me to make the playoffs with that?
Man, knock it off.
David Culley did better with the team that he had last year.
These boys are playing for David Culley.
I wanted to save this for last week. I'm going to get into it now.
You put David Culley in there.
These boys are playing for him.
Sorry, David Culley, you're out.
What?
And you wanted to bring Josh McCown, an assistant high school coach?
Volunteer basis to lead your organization.
I bet you would have rolled the carpet out for him until people start calling your asses out.
These freaking Texans, man.
But it's a good thing.
I can't say it's just a Texan.
At least the Dallas Cowboys have had a black coach.
At least in the state of Texas, the Dallas Cowboys have had a black coach. Exactly.
Dallas has never had a black coach either.
Anyway.
Oh man.
So listen, man.
Let me put it this way, man.
If these coaches are going to take this job, they're clearly taking it for the bag.
If you trot your ass out, you're a black head coach, and you want your opportunity, clearly you're going for the bag because they're not going to give you that time to turn this thing around.
Culley got his bag.
He got a lot of money, I'm sure.
I'm sure Lovie Smith got a lot of money for that.
So I'm sure it was for the bag.
But man, it's just disappointing.
When you have 32 head coaches, 32 opportunities to be head coach.
And right now, the only black head coach stable is Mike Tomlin.
Wilkes should be returning to be the head coach for the Panthers.
But you know they ain't going to do that.
They're going to look for someone else.
I'm trying to think of another black head coach out here.
None.
I think it's just Tomlin.
Oh boy.
Anyway.
I'm gonna leave it at that.
So folks, that's it for me.
I'm gonna wrap this up.
I got to go in the night shift.
Shout out to the night shift workers.
You guys know what it is, gang.
Yo, you're making it a black and white thing.
You motherfucking right, I'm making it a black and white thing.
It's clear and evident.
What more do you need to see, buddy or buds?
What more do you need to see?
It's clear and in your face.
I'm not even going to attempt to explain that shit because it's right in your face.
It's right in your face.
Anyway, I'm gonna let that be.
It's on to the Dolphins.
We're gonna squish the fish.
That's how it's supposed to be.
We did it.
We let one game slip last year.
We let one game slip last year against the Patriots
in a windy, gusty game.
And then we came back and handled business.
It's not gonna be any different.
It's not gonna be any different with the Dolphins.
We're gonna handle it.
We're gonna cut that real good.
I'm not even a sushi guy.
Fuck up, it's gonna be a fish fry.
You get that grease nice and hot, fish fry that shit.
Let's go.
Maybe we'll have some wings on the side.
But we're gonna keep it at that.
We're gonna keep it at that.
Have a great week.
Tomorrow's gonna be my man.
Rev.
And I'm back at it on Friday.
And then this is one and done.
This is one and done.
So let's handle business.
Let's go on our run.
We're not gonna be one and done. We're gonna go for a run.
Let's go on our run.
know what I'm saying? We're on a seven game win streak right now. Let's keep it going.
Let's make that 11.
Let's get to 11.
You guys already know what it is, man.
So, folks,
enjoy your week.
Enjoy your week.
Let's get ready to ramp up for this big game.
And shout out to the Finns fans that are out there.
Shout out to the Dolphins content creators.
Talk about everything you need to.
How are the Dolphins going to win this game?
And I'm going to give you guys your way.
I mean, there's only one way you guys can beat us.
You have to trot out Tua.
That's your opportunity to win this game.
You got to get him out there.
And find ways to get Tyreek the ball any way, shape, or form.
Get him the ball.
Find it. Do it.
You're gonna have to.
That's your way.
You're not gonna beat us running the football.
You're not gonna run 250 yards on us.
I just can't see it happening.
You're going to have to throw the football.
You're gonna have to.
Because right now our weakness is on the corners.
That's where you gotta go.
Problem is, you got Greg Rousseau coming after your ass.
You know what I'm saying? You got Oliver coming after your ass.
Lano and Tua's kind of shit.
There he is.
You know what I'm saying? These guys are barely down.
And we are more motivated as ever.
You're in a tough spot.
The Patriots were in a tough spot.
They played the best game of their season against us.
And it just wasn't enough.
So good luck.
Good luck.
We'll see you guys on Sunday.
Folks, have a great night.
Catch you on the flip side.
My black ass is gonna be late.
Can't do that.
Can't be the only black man late for work.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
Gotta be on time.
So folks,
enjoy yourself.
Get out of here.
Bills.
Give it. Take care of the dog. But any given Sunday.
Anything can happen.
So.
Finns Mafia.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Catch you guys, man.
It's your boy.
Catch you guys on. You guys know what it is, man.
Listen, before I get out of here, man.
It doesn't take much to call.
How you doing?
Missed you.
Any words of encouragement.
People need that stuff.
All right.
Do it.
Just never know.
Life is too short for that.
Go.
Catch you on the flip side, folks.
Peace.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.